Good morning, church. Saints of the living God. I'm telling you how comforting it is to stand here and just to gaze over this congregation. You know, I got an email the other day from someone who's concerned about the church they're in, concerned about the inconsistencies, they said. And I thought, you know, it's comforting to be able to come to a like-minded brethren with no inconsistencies in doctrine or practice. It's just a wonderful thing to be able to do that. This morning I want to talk about the wiles of the devil. Let's turn, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And in verse 10, the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now turn back, if you will, to Mark chapter 1. And in Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 12, the Bible says, "And immediately the Spirit driveth him," Jesus, "into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him." There's a whole lot in these passages that we need to consider, that we need to think about in this age, in this time that we live in this age of deceit and apostasy that we were talking about earlier. You think about Jesus is here in the wilderness, says he's with wild beasts. And we can look at that as an idea of being in the wilderness, this dangerous and this foreign territory where Jesus is. And it also says that the angels ministered unto him. You know, God sends forth his ministering spirits to attend to the heirs of salvation. We can have that comfort as long as we're knowledgeable and understand that we are the heirs of this salvation. We can understand that we can have these ministering spirits. I want to talk this morning about error, apostasy, being led astray. And I believe the quintessential error of our time is the rejection of the authority of Scripture. While demanding to be identified as a child of God, many will play lightly with the Word of God. They treat it as common, or even imply that God Himself is, you know, not really so much concerned with the veracity of His Word. But the psalmist said, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou," you know, he's talking to God, "for thou, God, hast magnified thy word above all thy name." If we don't have a firm foundation, a good grip on the Word of God, you know, and believe it, and actually believe what it says, we're doomed. We're in danger. You know, this idea includes the ignoring of biblical context and setting, and filtering the Bible through our own private interpretation, essentially just making the Bible say anything we want it to say. You know how easy that is? You know how prevalent that is? Anybody can, they make the Bible say all sorts of different things. They point to chapter and verse. Well, the Bible says this, the Bible says that. We have to be more intelligent. We have to be more aware. We have to be more understanding. We have to have a firmer grip on the Scriptures than to be swayed by the wiles of the devil.
Yes, right.
You know why people are so irrational? It's because of this right here. Because they have rejected the authority of the Word of God. You know, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Right.
It's the germ of reason. It's the very beginning of the thought processes of rationality, of reasonable thinking, like we were talking about earlier. Reasonable thinking. But the world is so irrational. People who claim that they're even Christians are so irrational.
Yes.
They can't think. They have forgotten how to think. They have forgotten how to reason. They have forgotten that God said, "Come, let us reason together." They throw it all off on faith as though it's some mystical thing. There is a Presbyterian minister in Oregon. I'm not even going to give the man the dignity of mentioning his name or the name of his so-called church. But I want you to listen to what he said. Listen to this. "The concept of God is a product of myth-making, and God is no longer credible as a personal, supernatural being. Jesus may have been historical, but most of the stories about Him in the Bible and elsewhere are legends." This is a man who stands behind a pulpit. Oh, it gets worse. He says, "I'm a Presbyterian minister who doesn't believe in God." It gets worse. "We all have been trained to think that Christianity is about believing things," he wrote. "Believing its symbols and artifacts, God, the Bible, Jesus, heaven, etc., must be accepted in a certain way. And when times change and these beliefs are no longer credible," by whose standards, I wonder, "the choices we are left with are either rejection or fundamentalism." Yeah, that's a point there. You think about it. That's true. That's what we're left with. Either rejection or clinging to it. Listen to this. He says, "I'm still a proud minister, but I don't appreciate being told that I'm not truly a Christian." Can you believe? Somebody validates this insanity. I'm telling you, people, go to this guy's church. It's unbelievable. You think the world's not in an advanced state of confusion? You know, y'all probably didn't know this, but I'm a fighter pilot. Yeah, I'm a fighter pilot. I've never been in a cockpit. I don't even believe in planes. And I get sick when I go around the merry-go-round, but I don't appreciate it when people tell me that I'm not truly a fighter pilot.
Yeah.
Is that absurd? And this is what we have today. The devil manipulates people into the most absurd stupidity that they don't even have a clue of what's going on. Don't even see the stupidity of their own statements, of their own actions, of the way they do things. In fact, they think they're quite astute. They think they're smart. They think they have much wisdom. Think they have much understanding by being a proud Presbyterian minister who doesn't believe in God. And then he gets offended because people say he's not a Christian. What a moron.
Yeah.
You think about that. He says, "I reject God, the Bible, the veracity of heaven and hell, the historicity of Jesus, but I don't appreciate it when people don't think I'm a Christian." What's he after? What is his goal? What is he trying to do? But tear down truth. Who's behind that? You know where all this starts, don't you? Hath God said? That's where it starts. That's where it all starts. By pitting God against Himself. Calling His Word into question. Any of His Word. You take the first step on that pathway of heresy, apostasy, damnation. I think it's easier for some people to chew gravel than to admit they're wrong or to get this point. You reject the Word of God? I don't reject the Word of God. I believe that. What about this part? Oh, well, no, he changed that. Stupid. That's stupid. They cling to error. to their last breath. No, this is mine! It's my error! It's the way we've always done it! The devil is playing so many people for fools. And it's so unnecessary. Because Jesus Himself has laid out 3 points to defense of the devil's attacks. If people would just listen. But ears are deaf. Eyes are blind. The psalmist said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We talked about, we read the verse there in Ephesians about the armor of God. You know, there's so many people that put such a twist on that thing. But this is not some mystical or capricious concept. This is very practical stuff. These are practical applications that Paul instructs us on here. You know, I was talking to somebody early on in my Christianity. Somebody that was supposed to have some sense. As far as I'm concerned, I was young. Oh, and he describes this. Yeah, you go to Ephesians and you wake up in the morning and you grab your helmet of salvation and your breastplate of righteousness and you put it on, put this on. And I'm sitting there staring at him thinking. And finally he gets to the end of his little spiel and he looks at me as though I'm supposed to laud him with great accolades, waiting for me to say something, how wonderful he was for the way he interpreted that. And I just looked at him and I said, why'd you take it off? Wakes up in the morning and starts putting these things on. Listen to me, this isn't mystical. It's not some kind of fun idea. It's not a sense of, oh, let's do this and let's do that. It's not ploys and cliches and these stupid little sound bites. We're talking about life.
Yes.
Paul, in this armor, gives us a defense against the wiles of the enemy.
Yes.
We're not talking about a mystical helmet or some breastplate that these people wake up in the morning and put on and go through these motions and walk outside and light their cigarette. Didn't do them much good. Paul instructs on this defense. After Paul instructs the Ephesians on many practical aspects of living out the faith once delivered, he concludes in essentially a denouement of the entire epistle. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What's the practical application here? What is the whole armor of God but the practical application of Scripture?
Yes.
He's not telling you to go through some kind of motions of putting on some mystical helmet. He's saying, obey the Bible.
Yes.
Look at the Scriptures. Put the principles in practice.
Amen.
Walk through this thing. Embrace the living truth of the Word of God. A living embodiment of the Word of God. That's what He's talking about here. Jesus said in John chapter 17, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. We must adequately represent the Word of God.
Yes.
In our life, in our actions, in our words, in the way we do things, in our walk, in our life, we must adequately represent the Word of God. Or we're like the Presbyterian minister. Only we're stupider than he is. Because we think we're okay. We must walk this thing out. We must allow the Word of God to dictate every aspect of our being. Or we allow that breach in our wall. We allow the fiery darts of the wicked to penetrate our defenses because we've let something down. Listen, the devil is not playing fair. That's why he calls it the wiles of the devil. Trickery. Deceit. He's slippery. Very often comes by and tells you exactly what you think you want to hear. Angels of light. You know, the devil comes and tells you something you know is the devil. You ain't going to listen to him. You ain't going to listen to it. No, no, no. That's why he sends forth these wiles. Makes it sound intelligent and smart. Strips away your intellect. and feeds you foolishness, and you turn around and spew it right back out. What is it? What is at the bottom of what you think Brother Mark's been debating? What's at the bottom of that? This right here. They don't believe the Bible.
Yes.
I don't care what they say. They don't believe the Scripture. Period. The wiles of the devil. Paul uses this same word here in chapter 4 where he says, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, where he says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. Listen to the context of what he's saying. That we be no more children tossed back and forth one way to the other and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You listen to me. God always uses the agency of man to send forth His message. We looked at it today. A prophet goes forth and tells people what God said. Right? You know, the devil does the same thing. The spirit world has to enter into this physical world and they use people to do it. The devil influences people to stir up mischief, to do stupid things. He stirs up people to try to convince others, oh, how, you know, fundamentalism must be bad. Actually believing the Scriptures, oh, you're a Neanderthal. You're one of those Bible thumpers. What's all that rhetoric about? It's about trying to demean the authority of the Word of God.
Yes.
It's about trying to demean and bring down and tear down truth. That's what it's about. That's the only thing it's about. Because these people aren't smart that say these things. They're not. They're fools. The devil's deceitful. And he uses his deceit and his little minions to draw us away from the veracity of Scripture in any way he can. Hence, hath God said, as we'll read in a minute, if thou art the Son of God, and you know why people fall for this? This is a warning to you young people. To us old people, older people. The reason people fall for this is because of biblical illiteracy. They don't know what the Bible says. You better read your Bible.
Amen.
You better study your Bible.
Yes.
You better understand. You better get these resources that Brother Mark has spent so much time on in preparing. Why does he do that? You think Brother Mark sits around in his office, well, let's see, what can I do with my day today? No, he's concerned about truth. He's concerned about these children. And I am too. And I'm telling you, grab these resources and study them. If you can't give answer to anybody that asks you a question about the hope that lieth within you, you're in violation of Scripture. Grab a hold to them. Study them. Because of strange doctrines that are foreign to the testimony of Scripture and have no biblical authority. That's what you get to. If you don't know the Bible, if you're biblically illiterate, if you can't explain the story of Scripture, that's what you get to. You start believing strange doctrines. You'll start clinging to isms. You'll forget why we teach the women's head covering. Because the pot wasn't big enough? Isn't that the analogy? Christ was tempted in the wilderness. We're going to be going to Matthew chapter 4 here in a minute. The devil's tempting of Jesus is an object lesson for us.
Yes.
Let's just not read through this as though it's something that happened to Jesus. Everything that was written is written for examples unto us. We can learn from everything. Everything applies to us. Everything can be put in a realm to where it makes sense to us. It's something that we need to understand. And this is no different. This isn't just a story that happened to Jesus. These issues can be applied to all of the vicissitudes of life that a Christian may face. As we wander in the wilderness of this life, we need to be watchful and not ignorant of the devil's devices. Peter said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." You know, we all know that verse, but do we understand the practical implications of that verse? Do we picture a lion walking around looking for somebody? This is the mental image that we're to get. Why? Because it teaches a good lesson.
Yes.
Not that we should watch out for lions, but to remain steadfast in the faith. Not just stand against a lion. We're to remain steadfast in the faith. You know, the Bible teaches that if we resist the devil, he flees. Why is that? Why does the devil flee when we resist? You know, there's something that comes first, right? Submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Oh, don't try it the other way around. You know what's going to happen. You'll turn into like the seven sons of Sceva. Only when we are first submitted to God will resistance even be possible. And you know what? That devil, he's so dry and deceptive. He leads a lot of people on. They think they're resisting the devil. And he got them on a choker chain, just dragging them around. Why? Because he tells them what they want to hear. He gives them what they want. Oh, they think everything's fine. Look, I'm so blessed. What's that chain around your neck? What do you mean blessed? Devil dragging you around like a toy poodle. What's the matter with you? Wake up! You know, I just want to scream to people sometimes. Wake up! What is the matter with you? Don't you realize you're going riding to hell on your pious sleigh? Yet these people, they think they're all fine. Because I've clenched and clung to my ism. I've determined that I'm born a Baptist, I've lived a Baptist, and I'll die a Baptist. Oh, I've heard that. Let me tell you something. That is the epitome of wickedness.
Yeah.
I was told that. I guess I'll just have to die and go to hell then, because I'm not going to stop being a Baptist. Oh my. Do you realize what you've just said? Matthew chapter 4. We'll talk about a little bit about substance, about humility, about devotion, about living a real Christ-centered life. You know what it's like to be Christ? Or let me rephrase. You know what it's like to be a Christian? You know what it's like to try to follow Christ? A lot of people don't. Because they've got this strange idea on who they think Jesus is. But guess what? He's not. He's not that. I have a byline on an article I started writing the other day. It says, "The Problem with Christianity." You know the problem with Christianity? It's not. That's the problem. Matthew chapter 4. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' And he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' And Jesus said unto him, 'It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, 'All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me.' Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. There's a doubt. If thou be the Son of God, who is he talking to? Is the devil ignorant? What is he doing here? Does he really think he's going to make any headway? I don't know what he's doing. I know what God's doing. God's revealing to us the wiles of the devil. If thou be... The devil loves to sow doubt. Loves to sow confusion. We have to be so firmly established in the Word of God that no slight and no craftiness will cause us to stagger. That nothing will cause us to stray. If you know Jesus, you'll know His voice. And a stranger's voice will mean nothing to you. If you know this Word, there's no counterfeit or caricature that will dissuade you from holding to the truth. If you know this Word. If thou be. You know, you don't have to prove anything to the devil. Most of the time, the best thing to tell the devil is shut up. Don't talk to me. I don't want to hear that garbage. Oh. Say that. Yeah. Just don't listen to him. No. It is written. That's what you can tell. That's what Jesus told him. Look in verse 6. He said, for it is written. Look at that. The devil's using Scripture. This right here is where most professing Christians lose it. Right here. All tripped up. Well, he used a lot of Scripture. You know what? At least in my Bible here, if you count the lines, Jesus used one more line of Scripture than the devil did. He used a lot of Scripture. Jesus just short and sweet. It is written, worship the Lord thy God. Devil goes through. Used a lot of Scripture. You know why most people are stumbled with that? Because most professing Christians are not acquainted with their Bible. That's it. That's how the devil gets away with stuff like that. Well, you know, the Bible says. You know how many devils I've heard say, well, you know, the Bible says. Oh, there's a lot of them. I grant you this morning, there are multitudes of them saying the exact thing over pulpits. This morning, right now. And people are tripped up. Because they don't know their Bible. They're not acquainted with it. They have no clue. You know, the first thing that tipped me off when I was a young Christian. Didn't take long, a couple months maybe. All of a sudden, I'm sitting in this heretical church. He's preaching, sounds right, Bible says that. You know what I started doing? Right in the middle of a sermon. I'd look up three or four verses, read through three or four verses, and I'd say, this passage completely contradicts everything that man's saying. Oh, but he used a lot of Scripture. You better be acquainted with your Bible. You think the devil is not going to try to deceive you by twisting Scripture around? No, I'm too refined, too learned for that. I've been taught from a child this ism. Devil's not going to twist anything on me. Oh, come on. He did it to Jesus himself. He tried to twist Scripture to Scripture personified. But he's not going to do it to me. First step to destruction, right there. You just want to scream, grab people, shake them, wake up! You know, the Bible says, or when the devil says right there in the Bible, it is written. What did Jesus say? It is written again. You're not going to twist Scripture on me, devil. No. Your little twistings and manipulations there, they don't comport with all of Scripture. I'm sorry, this right here contradicts you, so you're going to have to make up another interpretation. How simple is that?
if they refused to do it. They would claim God lying rather than admit that they've accepted something that's wrong.
No, God must have lied. He must have changed his mind. He must have made a mistake and decided to correct it. What idiocy!
Oh, but they're Christians.
If we don't foster a comprehensive understanding of the Scriptures, we will be tossed to and fro by various winds of doctrine.
Yes.
That's a given. If we are diligent in our study to show ourselves approved unto God, Scripture with Scripture, we will always have an "it's written again." For every one of the devils,
Amen.
It is written. Let that sink in. Because don't think the devil's not going to try this on you. And you know, it's one thing, it's obvious, some of the things that we're debating right now. It's kind of obvious. You know, we understand the doctrine, we understand what the Bible's talking about, we've been taught, we've been instructed and everything. It's come out, we understand that. So guess where he's going to attack? Not there. He's going to come up with something else. He's going to come in the back door. Devil does never comes up and rings the front door. He's going to sneak in the back. Devil takes Jesus up. He says, "All these things." Now he appeals to our desires, our wants, our lusts, our cravings. All these things. He's going to find out what you're really devoted to. Don't be confused. If you're not totally devoted to the Word of God, the devil will find the weaknesses. If there's anything in the Scriptures that you're confused about or scared about or just shy away from, really don't want to discuss that because, well, you know, my doctrine doesn't really fit there real good, you're in a bad spot. Devil got you chained up. He will exploit that. He will. He will exploit that. It's not a matter of if. No, he's going to. He knows. He's watched. He's crafty. He's been watching us very carefully. He knows where our weaknesses are, and he's going to hit it. We must be resolved, come what may, that we will not violate the principles and precepts and commands of God, but we will resist the devil with everything we've got. Get thee hence, Satan. You know, Jesus didn't try to explain anything to the devil. He didn't try to prove anything to him. Just get thee hence. Get thee hence, for it is written. Get thee hence, devil, because the Bible says... The entirety of Scripture supports my position. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. The Lord thy God, Jesus Christ, salvation, the Word of God made manifest. Submit to God. Resist the devil. It says, and then the devil leaveth him. The devil leaveth him, and the angels minister. That's a nice place to be. So what does that mean for us? What's our responsibility? What's our practical application of these things? What is our Christian responsibility? Well, obviously, to don the whole armor of God. The Word of God must be our final authority. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Context. You know, in going through Scripture, you know, context is a must.
Yes.
There are so many people that just reach and grab, they pick their favorite Scriptures and pull them out of context, and they want to... That's what I said earlier. They can almost prove anything by picking and choosing out of Scripture. You pull things out of context of the Bible, you can prove almost anything. When the first principles of Bible interpretation are abandoned, error and confusion will always ensue. Every time. You abandon the principles of biblical interpretation and you have got a mess on your hands.
Right.
Why do you think the Mennonites have so many different avenues to their interpretation of divorce and remarriage? Why do you think that? Because of this. It don't matter what the Bible says about it. What this guy thinks, what that guy thinks, what that guy thinks, what that guy thinks. As long as we all meet at the end, we're okay. Confusion. Utter confusion. People are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they're embroiled in knowledge, falsely so called. They want to make these things up on their own. They don't interpret Scripture as Scripture. They don't rightly divide the Word of God. They just pick and choose what they want and then make up an interpretation on their own. It's so foreign to Scripture and to God that it's not Christian.
Yes.
It's not biblical. What are you doing? You can't do that with the Bible. Oh, they do it all the time. Every day. All the time. All over the place. You know, it makes me mad. I love the Word of God. I love Jesus Christ with all my heart. And when somebody mars Him, it makes me mad.
Yes.
People wonder why I get so animated. That's why. Because I look out here and I see what people have done to Jesus.
Come on.
It makes me mad.
Yeah.
We must incorporate the entirety of Scripture in order to form our theories and our ideas and our interpretations of what God's Word is. If our theory does not comport with every single word of God, there's a chink in our armor.
That's right.
Credibility, you know, credibility is completely lost when someone has to change the Bible to defend their position. That's one of the things I despised about Dean Taylor early on. I started reading some of his articles in The Remnant. We used to get that thing. And I read through it and I'm going like, what in the world is he doing?
Well, the Bible says it, but it doesn't really mean that. It really means it.
He did that a lot. I threw that thing out of our house, into the trash, canceled the thing. It only took two or three articles. I started writing a reply to one of his articles one time and I got to a point in the second issue, in the second article, issue of his expanded article, where he said that, well, the Bible says this, but it doesn't actually mean that. What it actually means is something, and it's just like Brother Mark says, they take Jesus' words to make it mean the actual opposite of what he's saying. I'm like, you know what? I can't answer this guy. There's no hope. If you're going to turn the Bible on its ear to prove your false doctrine, there's no hope for you.
Yes, that's right.
You know, I do not hold any theological position for which I have to change or stretch or manipulate one single word of the Bible.
Amen.
I don't have to change anything in the Bible to defend my positions. Not a single word. At least not that I know of. But guess what? If something like that comes across, guess who's going to change? Done it before, I'd be happy to do it again.
Amen.
To line up with the Word of God, I'll do anything.
Amen.
If I'm in error about something, please open the book and show me. I don't want to be in error. You just want to be right. Yeah, absolutely. Amen. I just want to be right. Don't let the devil manipulate us into partaking of anything other than the bread of life.
Good.
Hey, these stones right here, Jesus. No. Sorry. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word. Not just the new red letter Testament words. All of it. God, we were talking about this earlier. God reasons. The devil tries to control through manipulation. Have you ever been manipulated and known it? It's almost like a violation of the mind. You think, oh my, what has just happened? That's how the devil works. God doesn't do that. God comes and reasons with you. If you want to be irrational, God's like, well, okay. I'm just telling you like it is. Resist the devil. Put a stop to his insidious tricks against us. There's a lot of insidious tricks. He uses people, like I said. You know, the devil likes to get Christians bickering and fighting among themselves about inconsequential things. This is how he works. You think about this. The devil gets Christians all stirred up and bickering with each other about inconsequential things. But guess what? The important things that matter? Oh, you just don't say anything about that. Let's not talk about that. Oh, we don't talk about doctrine. Doctrine's divisive. We just won't talk about it. Oh, the important things, he says, shh, keep your mouth shut. The little inconsequential bickering stirs it up as much as he can.
That's right.
The art of manipulation.
Yes.
We must avoid presumption. Because that's how the devil gets in to try to... He presumes upon the Word of God. He presumes upon a lot of things. Presuming upon the Word of God is epidemic today. How do most people tempt God? You know, the Bible talks about several times in the Psalms about, you know, they tempted God in the wilderness. They disobeyed Him. They moved about in their own whims and their own ways. You know, people are moved by feelings and emotions rather than by reason. That's why. Listen to this quote. The people, in their overwhelming majority, are so feminine by nature and attitude that sober reasoning determines their thoughts and actions far less than emotion and feeling. You know who said that? A key, brilliant manipulator of the devil. That's a quote by Adolf Hitler. He might have been a monster, but he understood how to manipulate people.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that. He had a very experienced teacher. Fearful or expectant of, or you know, fearful or expectant even of future ramifications, reacting under pressure, and rejecting of reason. They all go hand in hand. I'm scared of what might happen, so I'm going to make an irrational decision. Well, if I make this irrational decision, this might happen. You see what I'm talking about? Or under pressure, same thing. Under pressure, I got to make a decision right now. Irrationality. Calm. God says calm. Have peace. Let's reason. Let's think about this. Let's make a reasonable decision. Bought Jesus up on top of the pinnacle and said, jump off. He'll take care of you. The devil says, jump. God says, wait, I didn't tell you to do that. You know, when God says jump, what does the devil say? No, wait, don't. That might hurt. Very often, people under pressure will throw in with the devil for fear of what might happen if they don't. You know, everything will fall apart if I don't do this. Well, it very may well. So what? How does that validate ignoring the principles of Scripture and throwing in with the devil? I'm going to side with the devil here because it makes more sense to me. What a moron.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I keep saying that, but I can't think of any other word. It's moronic! Sometimes people will even act completely contrary to their own ideology. They have this is me. You know, we've been through this as a church. People reacting about things because of something that might happen. Rejecting the counsel of Scripture because of something that might happen. Rewording Scripture. Redefining Scripture. Because they don't want to submit to it.
That's right.
There must be no compromise. Zero compromise when it comes to resisting the devil. We can't resist the devil and say, "Devil, come here, look, I need to resist you, but I don't know if I like the ramifications, so could we just make a deal?" We're not going to do that. We must have no compromise when dealing with the devil.
Right.
Submit, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. And the ministering angels of God will come and minister to the heirs of salvation. People are typically easily manipulated because they're forgetful. People are very forgetful. You know, that's why I like history so much. Because it reminds us of the wiles of the devil, not only in biblical history, but in secular history as well. You can see the layout scheme of the devil across the span of time, and it's amazing. People are forgetful. You know, one of the other things Hitler said was people's power to forget is enormous. He depended on that.
Yes.
The people's power to forget is enormous. People are easily distracted. The cares of the world come in and sweep them away. They might be concerned or about something that might happen. Oh no, well if we believe that, who might come into the church? Isn't that one of the excuses about divorce and remarriage? Well, if we believe like that, then we might get divorced and remarriage people in our church. Hello? Easily distracted by the cares of the world. False cares, most of them. People are typically easily manipulated because they're so myopic. They're so folk like this. Me, myself, and I, and don't confuse me with anything else. Remember Balaam? That poor donkey trying so hard to help him. Just wouldn't have it. No, I'm going to get this reward. I'm going. That poor donkey. Why are you beating me? I'm doing everything I can to help you. Can't you see that? Open your eyes! You don't want to be open eyes. It's very easy to manipulate self-centered people. And the devil is a genius at it. So what is this whole armor but the concept of being clothed in Christ? Taking part in this practical application of Christian being. Completely ensconced in the Word of God. No part dark. No part of the wall left undefended or crumbled down. But the defense built up. And how we do that? By intent study of the Word of God. We cannot be led astray. We cannot be deceived by the wiles of the devil quoting portions of Scripture to his advantage. We must understand the entire corpus. And we might ask ourselves a question, each individually, even as a church. What will get us to sway? What fear is it that grips our hearts? What intimidation is it that will shackle our reasoning? Is it safety? Is it comfort? Possibility of actually being wrong about something? An uncertain future, maybe? How many people in here has ever been wrong about anything? Oh, come on! I have been wrong a lot about a lot of things. And there's nothing I love more than someone to teach me what's right.
Amen.
I have known people that are just, you think I'm wrong? Yeah. I think you're wrong. If I didn't think you're wrong, I would think what you're thinking. Right? It was funny because one guy I was talking to early on too, he got all offended. You think I'm wrong? That's rude for you to imply that I'm wrong about something. And I'm thinking, looked at him, I said, you think I'm wrong? So are you rude? I mean, come on. When two people have a disagreement, guess what? They both think each other's wrong. There's no harm in that if it's something inconsequential anyway. We're not talking about doctrine here in this point. I remembered that. I had to chuckle, and the assistant pastor at the church there at the time was standing next to me. He started laughing with me when I started chuckling because of the absurdity of the situation. I'm offended. You think I'm wrong? Hello? You think I'm wrong? Oh, boy. You know, the Bible says that one day, I think it's there's a subtle implication of talking about Satan here, but it says that one day we're going to look at the enemy sideways and say, is this the guy? Mm-hmm. Is this the guy that's caused all the trouble?
Yeah.
This is him? It's going to be embarrassing. A lot of people. It's going to be really embarrassing. This caused all the trouble. But you know what? Until then, we are engaged in a desperate struggle for our very souls. It's not so obvious right now. That day may be coming, but it's not so obvious right now. We must not allow ourselves to be deceived by the devil. We must not be ignorant of his devices. We must resist him. And the only way we're going to do that is to be completely devoted to the Word of God, even if it means to our own destruction. Because it is written, they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. That's how we are. That's what we proclaim here. And oh, as I look among us, you know, I think the Bible says that you're not going to lose, or that you'll lose family and houses and friends and all this, but you'll be rewarded in this life and eternity. You know, and I look at this group, and my heart is so bound to each and every one of you. You probably can't imagine if you're a Christian. You know how important this is to us? To cling to the Word of God. To grab a hold, to not let the devil deceive us.
Amen.
We have got to struggle along. We've got to move along. We've got to keep going. We have got to fight the apostasy and the heresy. We can't just sit back and let it go. We need to make sure that each and every one of us dons this armor of God. Not some mystical, silly little cliched idea of waking up in the morning and putting on some invisible helmet. But to clothe ourselves in Christ Jesus Himself. Because He is our only hope. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word and Your truth, and ask that You would continue to guide us and lead us in righteousness. That You would foster in each one of our hearts a hunger and a thirsting after that righteousness so that we might be filled. Give us strength to do Your will this day and each that is to follow, so that You might be well pleased with us. In Jesus' name, Amen.